Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think we're going to have an exceptional episode. The topic tonight is connecting with the high self and the I Am Presence, and our guest tonight is Lori Spagna. You know, Lori and I were just talking off the radio, and we have so much material that we could go into, but I value the time you take to listen to this episode, so I really want to make sure that we have some depth and substance to what we talk about. Normally, I do an opening monologue, but I just want to get right into it. Lori has done some really wonderful things. The compassion of her heart is palatable, and she's so full of energy and joy, which is always a nice wake a heart leaves when it's flat out open. Lori's a spiritual teacher, a best-selling author, a speaker, and a visionary who practices and teaches animal communications, intuitive development, and energy healing, and also provides sacred energy transmissions and dormant DNA activations for both humans and animals. She also teaches about ascension and acts as a guide to other awakening lightworkers, starseeds, wayshowers, and spiritually minded animal lovers. As a visionary, lightworker, starseed intuitive, and healer, Lori provides transformational experiences for people and animals and assists all awakening beings to align with their true divine source, thereby empowering people and pets to tap into their true connection to the universal source, which exists within us all. Spot on. That's it. So we can all live our best lives ever. And we're going to bring her on real soon, but I want to toss out her webpage so you can look at it. It's lorispagna.com, lorispagna.com. And without further ado, welcome to the show, Lori.
Hello, Les. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. Looking forward to our conversation tonight and to sharing what we have to share. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's my good pleasure. Well, I always like to get a bit of a snapshot about who we're talking to. So can you give us kind of a high altitude view of who you are and what you bring to the table so we know who we're talking to?
Yeah, for sure. I would love that. Well, first, I'll give a little bit of background about me. Just like everybody, out of college, I went to, corporate America. I worked my first 20 years out of college in corporate America, and I used to call myself a good slave back then. I was on the hamster wheel of life, and, I was pretty miserable. So within those 20 years of working, I developed some really nasty habits and addictions and qualities that really sent me literally to my own kind of near death. What happened was, not to be overly dramatic, but I started smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day in those 20 years. I was drinking 6 or 8 beers a day every day for those 20 years. I was eating the worst kinds of unhealthy foods. Everything was artificial. And I was like 65 pounds overweight after, the 20 years. And I had been spending addictively, spending on credit cards to try to make me happy. So I had like $150,000 in bad credit card debt. And then I was going to doctors, and basically what they were doing was pumping me up with massive amounts of pharmaceutical drugs, like unheard of, like just bowls full of pills every day. And eventually what happened was my brother died of an unexpected drug overdose, and after he crossed, I started getting very clear messages from him. Up until that time, I had never you know, even consider that I could communicate with someone who had crossed over. But anyway, it was really undeniable. And, you know, basically what he was saying was, you're next. If you don't change your ways, you're next. You have to wake up. And I got the message. You know, I took the guidance. I mean, it was pretty intense for a while there because I was testing these messages. I was trying to discern if I was going crazy or if it was real or what was going on. But it became really evident. And, of course, at that time, I was married, and my then husband thought I was crazy, so he divorced me because he wasn't into this stuff. And that was, like, part of the wake-up call. And so after all that happened, I basically I took the message from my brother. I quit my job in corporate America. I started as a dog trainer, which was really because what happened, just to, a couple more pieces on this, was that while I was in corporate America, I knew I wasn't supposed to be there, but I just didn't know how to get out. I really felt trapped. I just had no idea how I was going to free myself from this. I had a very dominating father who basically would tell me every day, you have to stay in that. That's your job. You have to stick to it. Stay with it. And I just didn't know how to get out and how to, especially with the debt. But when my brother died and I was married, I just was willing to take the risk. And the thing was, I had in my head this mantra that I used to say over and over again, which was that I wanted to be of service to animals on a global scale. I loved animals. I wanted to make a difference for animals. And I didn't understand what I was asking for by saying, I want to be of service to animals on a global scale. I thought I was going to be a great dog trainer. And I also had two other mantras. I said, I want God to be my boss. And the other mantra, which is kind of similar to what you were saying even before the show, Les, was that I wanted the truth of everything, no matter what. I want the truth. What is the truth? So I just always was asking for the truth. So anyway, my brother died, and I got that message, and I basically said, all right, I'm going to quit my job and become the dog trainer. I have no idea how I'm going to do this, but it was a leap of faith. And at that point, that's when my husband divorced me, and I ended up moving to Maui. I lived in Maui for 2 years. I lost everything in those 2 years. I lost everything. And, of course, I was playing with all these esoteric realms and these esoteric kinds of metaphysical truths and energy, and I started working with energy, and I was meditating through the night, and I had a lot of sort of metaphysical near-death experiences, which were not out-of-body experiences. That's not what I'm talking about here. I literally was able to, I found a way to master control over my consciousness so that literally the physical form died and I could separate myself, my consciousness from all physicality. Anyway, 2 years in Maui, that's what I was doing. At the end of the 2 years, I moved back. And needless to say, that's when I really started doing this work professionally. And just the last piece I want to say about this is that I, within those 2 years, because I got aligned with my true mission, which had nothing to do with working in corporate America, within those 2 years, I lost 65 pounds of body weight. I became mostly all natural, organic, raw, vegan, vegetarian, you know, for the most part within those parameters, health food, you know, it started to completely transform the way I ate. Certainly gave up all the alcohol and the cigarettes. Those are not even part of my life anymore. I don't drink any alcohol and I don't smoke any cigarettes. I don't want to. I don't have a desire for it. And I, needless to say, like all those pharmaceutical drugs, completely gone. I haven't been to a doctor in over 10 years, in about 10 years, I should say. Nor has my dog, by the way, needed a doctor in 10 years. And, yeah, the last piece was obviously the debt. All the financial debt went away. And that was a whole spiritual process that happened with that. So all the debt, for the most part, was forgiven because I was working with the consciousness of banks and money, and I was practicing forgiveness. I literally got a lot of forgiveness letters. It was pretty amazing. So all that
well,
stuff
how,
in 2 years changed, yeah.
Well, how, I mean, what you're doing is you're qualifying yourself for the job at telling people who felt stuck what to do, and you couldn't do that unless you had been through it yourself. And so you created the colossal train wreck and came walking out of the ashes and said, damn.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you walk right back in with that open heart, and other people feel the stigma of all that, all the different layers of self-denial you were talking about. So this sounds like a good segue to go into the intuitive development and the high self and I am presence. So if we have somebody listening now and they don't really have a good sense that they're intuitive and they're not really connected to God, and they're, you know, they don't get any, you know, the roof doesn't fly off the house and some glowing orb come down and praying them, they might feel like they're not psychic or connected with any kind of a divine wisdom. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say that that's mind control programming. Like, that's not true. But, okay, let's even simplify it. Every person is psychic. Every person is intuitive. Every person is empathic. Every person has access to these gifts. The issue is that most of humanity has not been using it. And so it's sort of, a lot of it is sort of similar to a muscle in the sense that if you don't use it, you lose it. But you never really lose it because you can always get it back. You can always reclaim it because it's yours. It's ours. It's within us. There's no way we can't reclaim it. It's part of our divine inheritance. So that's the first thing I would like to say. But the other thing I'd like to say is just from a scientific perspective, because whenever you have people who don't think they have it, I really like to just tell you the basic science of it. It's so simple when you understand it scientifically. And this is like layman's terms. So here's the facts. Every person on the planet has a pineal gland and a pituitary gland located in sort of like the back of inside of the brain. And that pineal gland and that pituitary gland, those are master glands, which spiritualists for years have called what? Do you know, Les?
Well, third eye, but
the
pineal gland actually has optic nerves in it, and it's on the inside of the brain. So what the hell is it looking at?
That's right. I teach this in my psychic development class. You don't see with your eyes. You see with your brain. So that is, first of all, that's the first thing, is every person has a pineal gland and a pituitary gland. Spiritualists have called this the third eye. But these master glands are your extra, they are one of the main storehouses of your extra sensory abilities. These pituitary glands, these two master glands have been shut down or calcified from the foods we eat, think genetically modified food, think fluoride in the water and fluoride in the toothpaste, artificial chemical foods, any kind of chemical ingredients, for example, pharmaceutical drugs, or over-the-counter drugs, even, in our regular pharmacies, anything artificial, not natural, non-natural substance, not inorganic substances, in other words, not made by nature, will calcify these master glands, and therefore much of your, let's use the word psychic or intuitive awareness, gets shut down. Artificial sweeteners, great example, Diet Coke, all the diet sodas. That's even sugar, regular cane sugar, which is highly processed. In fact, sugar is processed in the same way that all of the most addictive substances. It's the only other that I know of, only other food. Well, we call it a food. It's not really a food. But it's the only other food that we eat that's processed the exact same way as all the meth, heroin, cocaine, and opium are processed. That's how addictive sugar is. But okay, so that shuts down the pineal gland and the pituitary gland. So you can decalcify this and open it up. That's a huge part of where our psychic and intuitive awareness comes from. Now, just a couple of other things, because I know I'm talking for a long time. But in terms of the science behind it, awesome, thanks. In terms of the science behind it, most humans right now are using at best three brain waves. when you sleep, you use a delta brainwave. That's your sleep brainwave. When you're active and alert and engaged in life, you're using a beta brainwave. If you meditate at all, just even slightly, or even if you really chill out, like in front of a sunset, or if you're chilling in front of the TV, zoning, you might be in an alpha brainwave state. But real gifted psychics are using a theta brainwave, or even in some cases a gamma brainwave. Those brainwaves, most humans have no idea how to access. They don't know how to align their brain to those frequencies. These are brainwaves are frequencies, waves of energy, wave frequencies. So if you can align with that frequency of a theta brainwave, it's very easy to start getting psychic information, tapping into universal intelligence. There is no human on earth who cannot access this brainwave once they're taught. And that's part of what I teach in my psychic development class and also in my animal communication class. I teach a theta technique. So that's another way that we're all psychic and everybody has it. It's scientifically real and valid. Now, the other thing while we're on the science part, just two other quick pieces. The other thing is within our heart and our heart center, we actually have the capability when we learn how to connect with our own heart center through, you know, usually through certain breathing techniques and energy processes, we can expand the heart center. In other words, what we do is we have the ability to awaken what literally the Institute of Heart Math that is scientifically studying this calls the brain of the heart. So we know scientifically that the heart has a brain. It has brain tissue. The same kind of tissue that's in our brains exists in the heart. But it's not really strengthened because it's kind of like it's a muscle of its own. You have to activate it. You have to strengthen it. You have to develop it. But once you do that, now you have all this empathic, sensitive intelligence that comes just through your heart center. And every person has this. Certainly our animals have had it for, you know, none of this even got shut down in them for the most part. And then finally, if we're talking about the scientific aspect of it, every person has skin. We absolutely positively know that our skin eats, breathes and senses information through it. It's an extrasensory aspect of our intelligence. And when we become more sensitive through certain processes that we develop, just like muscles, or just through like an energetic workout, we can also receive extrasensory information through our skin. And in fact, you know, lots of intuitives say things all the time like, oh, goose pimples, or, you know, the hair on my skin just raised. And that's a part of awareness, too, because our skin is an extrasensory, multisensory piece of equipment that we're able to use. All of these factors, the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, the heart center, the skin, the theta brainwave, there is even more beyond that. But all of these are ways that every human can access extrasensory information and start using it and discerning this information and translating it for so much more information. So there's nobody who's not psychic. There's nobody who doesn't have this. Every person has these abilities, and it is a matter of reconnecting ourselves with what's already available to us rather than shutting ourselves down, which we have been doing for the last, you know, umpteen eons of time, as long as things have existed. Right. So there it is. That's what I say to people who don't know.
Well, so...
Can I say one other thing? I'm sorry. One other thing on this list?
Oh, say two. Come on, say two.
Okay,
I bet
good.
You have two.
Okay, because the other part I forgot to mention is, you know, we know this scientifically that we have a left analytical brain, which we equate with, you know, analytical types of practices and processes and linear thinking. And then we have a right brain, a right sensing, feeling brain. And the thing is that most humans are really not using the full brain capacity. We've been trained as a society to only use our left analytical brain. We've basically dropped all of those activities, even from the school system, like music and arts and, you know, even sometimes exercise. that activates and awakens more of the right brain. And without that capacity to really tune into the right brain, we're missing so many of our psychic abilities, because what I always say is the left brain is trying to figure out what the right brain already knows. So left brain tend to be the skeptics who don't know yet, because they haven't really tapped in and accessed that right brain capability.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, so we flex that psychic muscle and we start to practice that, and we're starting to get information. We're tuning in to that higher frequency where the wisdom is. For so many of us, our life path, like you said, you came through corporate, you know, and then did a flip, and now you're doing something completely different. For so many of us, that is the script for this lifetime, that we kind of were raised in dogma of various layers, and then later in life we flip and we move into a whole new paradigm. And what I really like about getting to understand that higher wisdom is for the ego to understand the raw power of what a single idea or a single moment of inspiration can mean to an entire lifetime. Talk a little bit about the high self and the I am presence, and even the divine consciousness within us as a source of information, and how does one come into alignment and learn to trust it and then embody it, if you will?
Well, the thing about, okay, so first of all, if you understand what the high self is, a high self, and by the way, Freud, a scientist, acknowledged the high self. He would call this the id, right? The id, the super self, he would call it. The id was what he called it. But in any case, your highest self is the aspect of your consciousness, your knowing, that is beyond physical. It's beyond physical. So in other words, look, every person who is thinking, or, you know, you're just walking around and you're thinking and your mind is thinking. Now, if you're conscious of what you're thinking about, like let's say you're trying to figure out some kind of problem or at work, or you're trying to solve something, and you're asking your own self questions. You're like, maybe if I put this here, or how do I do this, or how to do that? Some aspect of your consciousness. I mean, it's not your brain that's doing. The brain is the piece of machinery. Well, what's operating the brain? The consciousness. So that's like your high self. It's giving you the answers. It's saying, oh, put this there, or oh, do that, or what about trying this? So there's literally these dialogues going on within your own consciousness whenever you're thinking, whenever you're consciously thinking, right? That part of you that's dialoguing with you, that's giving you solutions or making suggestions or saying, try this or do this or what about this? Or you have those aha moments in life where you're like, oh, I just figured something out. Where do people think that comes from? That is the high self. That is an aspect of your consciousness that's beyond your linear mind, and that's working with you, guiding you, coaching you, supporting you, assisting you, navigating you. It's giving you ideas. It's saying, oh, maybe you should go here. Oh, maybe you should do this. Because it has an expanded consciousness, an expanded viewpoint. It's connected to even higher intelligence and awareness, and higher is just a relative word, where we can access even more information, wisdom, consciousness, light, awareness, whatever we want to access. So that's what I'm talking about when I say the high self. It's got more consciousness than your human ego mind does. The human ego mind is saying, I have to go to work, I have to put this spreadsheet together, I have to create this presentation, I have to do this, I have to do that, how am I going to do this? And then the high self comes in. Or maybe you have a challenge in a relationship. Oh, my God, I'm having trouble with my family members. How am I going to get along with them? What do I do? Why is this going on? What's the solution? And then you go to sleep, and the next morning you wake up, and you're like, oh, my God, I got a great idea. I'm going to write an apology letter. Or, I'm just going to practice forgiveness or whatever. This is the high self, right? Okay,
yep.
Now, when we talk about the I am presence, did you ask me about that? I think you did, right?
Go for it.
Okay. We talk about the I am presence. A lot of people don't know what that is. This is a totally spiritual, metaphysical term, which I don't know that it necessarily, I mean, I think we could base it in science with, if we go to the God particle, which I can talk about that in a minute. But the I am presence is the aspect of your consciousness that when you align with this aspect of your consciousness, it's almost beyond your high self. It's where you start to recognize yourself as the creator of your entire reality. And you recognize that there are other unique, individualized, egoic beings here having their reality, and your reality is intersecting with theirs, right? So we have
sure.
individuated aspects, but we're all in these holographic, dreamlike states. Now, maybe for the everyday person who doesn't even know if they're connected to the divine or have psychic gifts, that's way too out there of a concept. And I get that. But as you start becoming more enlightened and you start working with these metaphysical, beyond even spiritual, metaphysical, where science and spirit are totally aligned, they both 100% agree, actually, that's where you start realizing, oh, my God, I am my whole reality. That's the I am presence. And let me just, since we're on the topic of science, I'll just connect this real quick. What I was saying that science agrees in terms of the God particle is what we know is that quantum physics used to talk about something called string theory. And the reason they called it a theory was because they hadn't proven it, but they had never been able to disprove it either. And the idea of string theory was that everyone and everything is connected through these invisible strings of energy. But now what they've taken with string theory is they've gone beyond that, and they've said, we cannot disprove string theory. And every time we test it, it is reinforced. And so now we will just call this the God particle to say that all that exists is one big particle of invisible strings of energy, all connected and interwoven with one another. And therefore, all there is this God particle. And all there is one. That's what science is calling it, quantum physicists. The best physicists of our time are validating this. So the I am presence is the aspect that recognizes itself as the God particle, essentially. And, of course,
sure.
quantum physics also validates this as a holographic reality, right? The best scientists of our times are validating this. So, therefore, the idea, you know, just the idea that we have aspects of ourselves, whether it's a high self or an I am presence, these are just terms in the spiritual community that are also equally validated in the scientific community. Does that make sense?
And sure, you bet. And the value of that is as you do the caterpillar to butterfly metamorphosis and you wake up in this new paradigm, and your old mind is going, what the hell? This wisdom is connected to you the whole damn trip, and it has every single thing you could ever need to fulfill your life purpose. And
yeah.
I think that'll make a nice segue into, let's talk about some of the new roles that light workers fall into, like starseeds, indigos, wayshores. Can you talk about some of those and that'll help people recognize perhaps elements of themselves?
So the thing is, and also I love that you said the value of that. You were talking about the value of what we were talking about, because when we understand the roles that we're all playing, whether however we define the role, starseed, indigo, which I will explain in just a moment, but when we understand the value of coming into this awareness, what we realize is that all the solutions to our own life's issues as individuals, whether they're economic you know, whether their relationship, whether their, you know, financial, economic, whether their health, whether their, you know, just how to succeed at our goals, dreams, and desires. The point is that we have access to this kind of intelligence and energy that has all the solutions, that has everything we need. And that is exactly what you just said. And on a more global level, because we know we're at a very pivotal time on planet Earth right now where we're facing some major challenges globally, all the solutions are there. And they're actually readily available to us. In fact, most of the people working as star seeds, way showers, light workers, et cetera, we have solutions, incredible solutions. And that's what we're really trying to do, is to share them with humanity. So, all right, so what are these roles we play? So, okay, you have, first of all, you have the word intuitive, which means, really essentially means, there's a lot of ways you could define it, but essentially means you're using an awareness, an intuitive awareness that's beyond just the basic five senses. You're accessing this higher self and other realms, potentially other non-physical beings like angels or ascended masters, other forms of non-physical consciousness to assist you in whatever it is you're doing. That's really what intuitive is, right? And that's
right.
Kind of where we start. And some of us will call ourselves empathic as well. So empathic is kind of a little, it's another form of intuitive. We're still using extrasensory abilities, but empathic also tends to directly indicate a kind of sensitivity, which might be like I can physically feel experiences that another person may be, or animal may be physically feeling. Person, plant, animal, could be a plant, could be even the earth. Or an area of the earth, like we were talking about that earlier. So, for example, as an empath, because I am also an empath, I have had experiences, like I just recently was driving past a jail, a penitentiary, and as a maximum security prison, and as I was driving past it, I could feel the awfulness, the density of that just by driving past. Now, even as I say it and I have the memory of it in my consciousness, I can feel it again, even now. I'm nowhere near it because that energy is present. I can tap into that energy. That's part of being empathic. But even on a more surfacey level, you know, empathic can mean I can feel your feelings. Like if you're sad, I can feel that sadness. Or if you're happy, I can feel a certain elation with you or excitement with you. Like we can feel the similar things. That's empathic. So that once you start playing with those tools, actually you start to develop even more and you start to recognize yourself, wow, I'm working, playing with non-physical aspects of existence. So you start to recognize, wow, I can use these non-physical aspects of experience to do good things for others, for myself and for others. That's when you start to recognize yourself, I'm working with the light. I am a light worker. I'm actually working with the non-physical energy of light, of lightness, the lightness of being, love, joy, happiness, sweetness, kindness, compassion, other forms of lightness. And by using this light energy and playing with it, I can actually start to work with it in such a way that it can assist, it can elevate, lighten up, the density that exists here on Earth, whether that's misery or pain or suffering or sadness or grief or sorrow or illness. Now, when you start doing that, you actually are a light worker. You're working with the light. So that's what a light worker is. A light worker, by definition, for the most part, has to be intuitive to some degree or another. Because why? Because you're working with a non-physical realm. You know that it's real. You understand different gradients of energy. You've already developed your intuitive abilities. You definitely are very likely pretty empathic to some degree or another, a sensitive. And now you can use this sensitivity to help others, help yourself and others. That's a light worker. Now, there's another role which is very different and unique, and that's called starseed. So I'm a starseed. And starseeds know themselves as starseeds. They know they are starseeds. If you aren't sure, you could be a starseed and not know that you're a starseed, but once you learn about it, you have no doubt. So a starseed is somebody who was seeded here. Like, just like a plant starts as a seed, a particular kind of plant has a particular kind of seed. A starseed is seeded here as a human in human form, but they have definite roots. In other words, history, origin, ancestry as an extraterrestrial being. So most humans, all humans have different, and this is a whole other conversation which we can get into, but all humans have different forms of extraterrestrial lineage. Whether we know it or not, it is true. But star seeds know themselves essentially as extraterrestrials embodied in human form, a form of extraterrestrial. And it's not like they just, we've been here. You know, we've been around on planet Earth for lifetimes and generations, and we are humans. We're humans. However, we also know ourselves. We know our ancestry as, in a sense, you could say extraterrestrial. Now, that's a star seed. And a star seed is definitely a light worker, definitely a way shower. What's a way shower? A way shower could be any person who starts to wake up. They're not necessarily a light worker, not now, but they are a form of light worker. They're a way shower. They're like, there's a better way. Oh my God, there's a better way. And it has to do with love. It has to do with awakening. It has to do with learning these spiritual truths or learning about science in a new way. Or they're showing new ways to humanity, to others. They might know their own way, be a little bit of the black sheep in their family. Or they just might be another everyday person saying, I just want to share more kindness and compassion, or I want to be of service in the world, or I want to make a difference. I want to be a beach cleanup. Or they could do beach cleanup. They could do anything. But they're showing humanity a new way. And they might not even call themselves psychic. They might not call themselves animal communicators. They might have no idea about light workers or star seeds. But in their way, they're a way shower. And they're helping humanity in their own unique way to awaken. So that's a way shower. Now, all of these forms of beings, no matter what definition, and there's other different words, but all of us fall into what we would call a big blanket umbrella, which I call the indigo races. Indigo races. Why? Indigo races are known as, there is a form of literally what you would call indigo children. Indigo children typically were born in the 60s, so I'm an indigo child. I mean, some indigo children were born way after the 60s, so like up to maybe even the 80s. And then after that, you had like a new generation after the 80s called crystal children, which they're like children who love crystals, and they're just so, all their DNA is awakened. We can go into this some more. And there's also another generation being born called rainbow children. So they have the indigo aspect and the crystal aspect. But nonetheless, all of these terms are basically under the umbrella of the indigo races. And what that really means is we're here to usher in a new paradigm on planet Earth and to assist in the awakening of humanity and the transition from the old paradigm, which we would call 3D, I'll get into that if you want to, into the new paradigm, which we could call 5D. Which I know that opens up other kinds of questions, but that's basically how I explain all those terms and definitions we were just talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like it. We've got about 15 minutes left. Why don't we look at the dimensions, 3D, 4D, 5D, and then touch on DNA activation.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, so when we talk about the dimensions, you see, where we've been, the old paradigm, which has existed really, really existed up until 2012, and it still exists. It still exists. If you're not into any of this stuff, if you don't know about it, if you don't believe in it, you'll be still in the old paradigm. that old paradigm is called third dimension. And the third dimensional paradigm basically is a paradigm of separation, right? It doesn't acknowledge quantum physics. It doesn't imagine or even acknowledge that you and I are connected in any way, shape, or form. Everyone is separate. What one person does doesn't affect another. What one country does has no bearing on another. It doesn't recognize the interconnectedness of all beings. In fact, it's based on complete duality and separation. There's all kinds of experiences in that old paradigm, like war and fighting and lack and limitation, illness and suffering. Everyone's a victim. No one really is responsible. You need some kind of babysitter to take care of you, such as a government or a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or some outer authority that knows more than you. You certainly can't connect with God unless perhaps you go to some kind of organized religion or study in some kind of group. I mean, it's all that separation. And that's the third dimensional paradigm, the old paradigm where, you know, we know it, right? We've grown up in it. So where we're shifting to the new paradigm is called the fifth dimensional reality. And there's way more beyond that too, by the way. But the idea is in the fifth dimensional paradigm, you recognize, wow, this stuff is real. Like, there actually are empathic abilities that we all have. We actually are all psychic. We actually can all communicate with animals in a two-way dialogue. And plants do have intelligence. And yeah, this string theory is really, yeah, this God particle thing, we're all one. And while we're all unique individuals, we are all interconnected. And I can feel your energy and you can feel mine. And what I do matters to you. And what you do matters to me, because if we want to live in the planet of happiness and health and well-being, we're going to need to bring that in. We're going to need to embody that and play with energy in a whole new way. So that's the fifth dimensional paradigm. And, hey, you can connect with people who have crossed over, too, and animals who have crossed over. And there really is no death. There's just these other dimensions of reality. And, yeah, we get to keep our body and all the physical stuff, but we leave behind all that separation, that density, that pain, the suffering, the misery. Okay, so this is third dimension versus fifth dimension, and this is old paradigm versus new paradigm. And this is what all these light workers in these indigo races are ushering in. What's in between them is the fourth dimension. So fourth dimension is basically the non-physical realm, right? Everything that exists in the non-physical, whether it's your thoughts and your emotions, whether it's your ghost, your brother who crossed over to help you wake up, whether it's a sacred contract, whether it's a soul of an animal companion, whether it's a record, for example, the Akashic records, the records of existence or your soul's existence, whether it doesn't matter what it is. If it's non-physical, it exists somewhere. Angels, benevolence, malevolence, that's what we call the fourth dimension. And by the way, angels, they don't live in the fourth dimension. It's just that in order for us to get to the fifth dimensional reality, which is just more of an experience, it's not a physical place, it exists right here and now. But the idea is you have to understand how to navigate through the non-physical realm. And not only do you have to understand how to navigate through, you have to understand what it is, what's in there, what are the different vibrations, what are the different frequencies, what are the different energies, who's in there, are there benevolence, are there entities, are there, ghosts, are there angels, how do you talk to them and interact with them, and how do you develop all these gifts so that you can work with them? That is the bridge that really, when you cross through that bridge and you work through it, that is what fully anchors you into the fifth dimension. Now, it's important to say here, you don't have to be someone who works with angels every day. You don't have to be someone who's having conversations with ascended masters or two-way dialogues with, animals who have crossed over. You don't have to be into all of that stuff in order to get to 5D. But you do need to recognize it as real and significant and part of your new reality. So somehow, however is appropriate for you, whoever you are as a unique individual, you need to recognize that, that the fourth dimensional reality, which is a non-physical reality, is real and does exist, and it's part of your reality, even if you don't necessarily interact with it or play with it. The thing is, you're going to want to. You're going to want to, because it's just so much fun. It's just a mysterious realm. So, yeah,
indeed.
So that's 5D. And let me just say the one other really big thing about these dimensions that's so important to understand is that what we're talking about here is the awakening of humanity, the remembrance of ourselves as love, the embodiment of love, and that source, the divine source, the true, you know, God of humanity, the God of love, the God of compassion, kindness, whatever you equate God as, that the embodiment of that is each and every one of us. To me, it's love consciousness. It's a consciousness that vibrates energetically in harmony with the frequency, the vibration of love. It feels so good. You feel so loved, so divinely, euphorically in love, in bliss. That is God and your full consciousness. And as you embody more and more of this, you know yourself, you come to know yourself as this divine creator, infinite love, and you just want more and more to share it with others, share it with the world, and fully really ignite it within your own self, because it's just so beautiful, so wonderful.
Indeed.
So, yes. And it's like what you were saying, Les, earlier when we were talking. That is where real power exists. It's not power over another. It would never cause harm to another. It would simply be the joy of the embodiment of love and the joy, the ecstasy of being able to share that with the world, with others, so that they too can benefit, because it's infinite. It's unlimited. And it's just so fabulous. So, that makes sense, right, so far?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then so I can explain a little bit about the DNA and why this is so important and significant is that, you see, the most beautiful thing is that all of this awareness exists within our DNA. And so the thing is in the old paradigm, the 3D reality, we have two strands of DNA. And science recognizes in that paradigm, which exists, you know, on planet Earth right now, science recognizes every person has two strands of DNA, which are the active protein-building strands that stores up all the information about your ancestors, right? And basically, yep, you know, tells you, oh, your ancestors had this, you might have it. You have a propensity for it, or your ancestors had that, this is in your DNA. And usually we can characterize it as physical traits and potential diseases or abilities to be healthy, right? But science also recognizes in the old paradigm that there are 10 more strands that they used to think was junk, but they now know, and this is very well credited, you know, credible scientific journals have validated this, that they're not junk, that those other 10 strands are dormant and that they can somehow be awakened or activated. And science in the old paradigm does not yet know what they're good for, what those 10 strands are good for. They're trying to study it. I find this kind of joking, laughable, because, of course, in the 5D paradigm, we absolutely know what they're good for. We know already. So what they're good for is all your psychic gifts come online as they get activated, all your gifts to communicate with animals telepathically, with the earth, with Mother Nature, with one another. All that stuff comes online. Our gifts to heal ourselves of all physical diseases comes online, and emotional problems, mental problems, all of that is within our DNA. So we're no longer victims of the first two strands. We actually awaken these other strands that give us superhuman abilities, right? And beyond those, we have abilities to know things that we would never know. We have solutions to the world's problems. We have issues, you know, answers to all the issues. And beyond that, there are plenty of humans already exhibiting superhuman abilities way beyond our comprehension, such as teletransportation, such as levitation, real levitation, such as literally flying. One of my teachers is teaching us how to fly. And it's not flying like a bird flies. It's a kind of like projection, right? Many humans are already exhibiting superhuman abilities, like walking through walls, putting their hands in water and not getting wet. And certainly we see this every day, not every day, but we see it a lot, walking on fire without getting burned. Well, there are beings out there walking on water. Some of them are my friends. So these things do exist. They are real. And there's certainly, I mean, a simple one, using a gamma brainwave, you can affect things outside of you without even being touching them. Right? That's a simple one. All of these things exist within our DNA, these capabilities. But we have to activate this DNA, awaken it, and we can only do it a little at a time because, you know, otherwise you just sort of, like, fry yourself. So I know I'm living proof that it's real because I didn't have all these gifts 10 years ago before I went to Maui. I started really developing them in Maui, and since then, I was doing this kind of work with animals way before that, but my greatest gifts, they came after I started awakening the DNA. And so I know that everybody has these. It's a matter of awakening this DNA. So that's the story of the DNA.
But
of
course,
like I said, everybody's got it. It's a matter of, and there is one other thing about the DNA that's really significant to understand, is that in order for the DNA beyond the first two strands to be activated, there is a set of codons in there that must first get activated on their own. Do you know what those are, Les, by any chance?
I actually couldn't hear what you said. Your audio broke up in that moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said there are some codons in the DNA before the other two strands, beyond the first two strands, before you can activate anything else beyond the first two strands. There are some codons that need to be turned on in the DNA naturally on their own. And I was wondering if you might know what they are. Do you know what they are?
I have not. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. They're compassion. They're the compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, sure.
So a person cannot even activate any DNA beyond the first two strands unless they've already exhibited true compassion for other beings.
It's a gatekeeper to that higher level of power. It's so flippant elegant how the whole system is designed in such a beautiful way. Now, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure the listeners know how to connect with you and what your platforms are and the methods of engagement. You have books out. You give talks. Do you do any one-on-one? Can you give us a snapshot of how the listener can engage you in your material?
Yeah, I would love that. Well, first, they can always go over to the website, which is laurispagna.com. And actually, right now, we are revising it. I'm redoing my whole website. But very soon, and by the time you listen to this, this might already be up, you can go to laurispagna.com/free-gifts. It's already there. Even if you just go to laurispagna.com on the homepage and you join the community, you get some really awesome free gifts. So, for example, one of the free gifts you'll get is a class on developing your intuitive gifts. So you can start learning how to develop them right away. You'll also get a free class, a downloadable class on animal communication and telepathy. So if you're a spiritually minded animal lover, you can learn about that. And then you'll also get a fun, free, juicy living ebook full of fun, inspirational quotes. That's all for free at laurispagna.com when you join the community. And the other thing is you can definitely participate. The other thing is you can get any of my books for free as well on Amazon.com. So if you go to Amazon.com and you do a search for my name, Lori Spagna, I've got some fabulous best-selling books there that are downloadable for free on Kindle. And you know, you can also write testimonials if you get them for free. I would love that. Or you can pay the, there's a fee if you want to do it without Kindle. So you can still get them. But there's like a great book on opening your psychic gifts. There's another book on learning animal communication and telepathy. There's two workbooks. There's a superfoods for you and your pets book on there. Stop feeding me junk. Superfoods for you and your pets. And there's a book on animals in the afterlife. Anyway, lots of books I've written on Amazon, which are available for free when you search for Lori Spagna on Amazon. And then finally, if you would like to join me for Awakening Your Dormant DNA, I do what I call Ascension, Manifestation, and Healing Circles every other month. And we do them by teleseminar. They're three-hour calls. You get the recording. We give ascension updates on what's going on planet Earth right now. We do live Q&A and questions. And then we finish off with a full hour meditation with live, powerful energy healing to bring us into alignment with Source, with our greatest gifts, and to awaken the dormant DNA. And they're potent and they're fun and they're amazing. And then when I don't do those every other month, I do sacred energy activations calls for people and animals, where we do energy healing for ourselves, for our animals, and also we expand it out to the whole planet. Really powerful stuff. And you find out about that at lorispagna.com, and those are listed under the events tab if you want to know more. Of course, being on the newsletter, we'll always let you know. If you're in the community, we'll let you know when those are. So that's basically how people can find out more, and they can get involved with me and stay involved and stay in touch.
Well, you know, I've really enjoyed this this time that seems to have flown by because we've been so passionately engaged in conversation. I just wanted to thank you not only for the compassion you have for humanity, but for being our guest tonight on the show. I very much appreciate what you bring to the table.
Oh, my gosh, Les, thank you so much for having me. I loved speaking with you, and I loved sharing this information. I'm very grateful that you invited me to be a guest. Thank you so much for allowing me to contribute.
We'll have to have you back on the show again later.
That would be my great pleasure and honor.
We've been talking.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.